Rosai, one of the most traumatic episodes is contained in this week's parsha, which is the episode of the Chita Eagle, the episode of the Golden Calf. Traumatic episode is the Gemara says that in Poranos Baal Yisrael, there is no calamity that befalls Klal Yisrael that is somehow not rooted in the Chita Eagle. And the logic being that it represents the most profound relationship trespass against the Ribono Shel Olam. The idea that Klal Yisrael was experiencing a moment of such incredible spiritual intimacy only with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only to go ahead and betray HaKadosh Baruch Hu, betray that love, betray that trust with Avodah Zarah, with idolatry, or even if not idolatry, but just to put their faith in something they created instead of putting their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was something that truly tested the limits of their relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. But the Pasuk says that despite the incredible level of divine wrath and despite the incredible feeling of betrayal and hurt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu suffered at the hands of Klal Yisrael, despite all of that, Ribono Shel Olam chooses to go ahead and forgive Klal Yisrael. So Rav Menachem Mendel of Kotsk asks a very simple question. He says, Lama nislach chita egel al sh'af shelo shavu alav b'tshuva v'ilu chita meraglim lo mimcha lahem apapi shechazra alav b'tshuva. The Rebbe asks an amazing question. The Rebbe says, how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and forgave Klal Yisrael for the sin of the golden calf, even though we don't see Klal Yisrael do tshuva? We don't actually see them repent. Yet, by the chita meraglim, the sin of the spies, where Klal Yisrael delivers a disastrous report about Eretz Yisrael, there they do tshuva, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not fully forgive them. Why is such a profound question? Chet Egel, son of the golden calf, the worst relationship trespass, we never see an element of repentance. We never see an element of tshuva, yet we find divine forgiveness, but by the sin of the meraglim, the sin of the spies, the chet meraglim, where there is tshuva, we don't find complete forgiveness. Why the distinction? And the Rebbe says something beautiful. He says, Ha'in yonu shalachita egal hayonutis shalruchnius simon lekoach elyon aselanu elokim. V'yisa explains that when it comes to the sin of the golden calf, there was a spark of holiness, a spark of spirituality. Why? Because what did the people ask Aaron for? They said, Aselanu Elohim, we want a God. You see, by the sin of the golden calf, they were afraid that the Ribono Shel Olam had left them. They were afraid that Moshe Rabbeinu had died. They were afraid that they were all alone. So what were they seeking? They were seeking leadership. They were seeking a Godhead. They were seeking a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They wanted something bigger, something holier. Ve'ilu b'chita meraglim, haisat teshuka l'gashmius. But ultimately, again, when it came to the chita meraglim, their teshuka, their desire, was for material help. Because remember, again, they come into Eretz Yisrael, they say, the fruit is too big, the people are too strong, the esaretz mahi, they say, what good is this land for us? And the Kotzker here makes just a startling, overwhelming, and amazing observation, that by the sin of the spies, their sin was that they became too wrapped up in the material. The fruits are too big, the people are too strong. The truth is, they enjoyed the comfortable life of the man. They enjoyed the comfortable life of the anan, of the ish, of the cloud of the fire. They enjoyed all of the comforts of the material life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had provided them in the desert. And as such, again, because they settled for that comfortable life, there was no aspiration for more. But yet, when it came to the Chita Egel, what Klal Yisrael was saying is, we want God, we want Ruchnius, we want spirituality, we want holiness. Moshe Rabbeinu is gone, we don't know what to do, we're panicking. So they look for God in all the wrong places. They seek out holiness in all the wrong places, but nevertheless, their mantra was, Asei Lanu Elokim, make for us a Ribono Shel Olam, make for us a God, make for us a way of life that could sustain and maintain our spirituality. Says the Kotzker, when the Ribono Shel Olam saw that their motivation was pure, as much again, or I should say, the motivation had a spark of holiness in it. It wasn't pure, but had a spark of holiness in it. Despite the fact that they committed a terrible relationship trespass, the Ribono Shel Olam was willing to grant them forgiveness. And I'll say, what comes out over here is an incredible yisod. The Ribono Shel Olam does not ask us for perfection. The Ribono Shel Olam does not ask us to always be on the right side of things. The Ribono Shel Olam does not ask us to always figure things out or always be correct in our decisions. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us is for a desire to be more. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us is for effort. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see from us is that in our hearts and in our souls, there's a desire for Aseh Lanu Elokim. There's a desire for growth in our ruchnios. There's a desire for growth in our spirituality. A desire for growth in our Ben Adam L'Chaveira and interpersonal lives. That's all the Ribono Shel Olam is looking for. Yes, are we responsible for our mistakes, even if they have good motivations? Of course we are. But you see how willing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to grant us a second chance. When he realizes that our mistakes come from a heart that wants to be more, that our mistakes come from a soul that is open to growth, that's all the Ribono Shel Olam wants of us, to live a life of Aseh Lanu Elokim, to live a life where there is a nitzotz, a spark of ruchnius. We don't need to be perfect. We just have to have an unquenchable thirst for growth. Wishing you all a wonderful and beautiful Erev Shabbos, an uplifting and restful Shabbos Kodesh.